you know what time of the week it is. It is time for a little NBA draft talk. Welcome to the Believe in NBA Prospects Show. I'm your host, Harris Rubenstein. Across from me is my co-host, Michael Maxey. And we are the Tanking Support Group, where it is just fine to lose 11 games a year if you are in need of a superstar. Michael, another week has gone by. Tennessee has fallen out of the number one spot, and the Zion Williamson-led Duke team is back to number one in the country, as it should be.
Yeah, they're the best team in the nation. Tennessee, I really love what Kentucky's doing, too. So I think this tournament's going to be awesome.
Michael, I think the one thing that's most fun about this season for me, you know, Calipari with that Kentucky team, you know, it doesn't have the like the Zion Williamsons or the RJ Barretts, but the fact that he's been able to keep this team in the top 10 of the country, I think this might be one of his better coaching jobs so far. I'm excited to see kind of how instead of like a John Wall or an Anthony Davis led Kentucky team, this is very much a John Calipari led team. I'm excited to see what he can do with this group.
Absolutely. Obviously, Kentucky gets my attention every year because they always put lots of players in the NBA. But John Calipari moving Ashton Hagans into the starting lineup, I think, was the turning point.
Great call.
Because his defense is just ridiculous. He doesn't shoot a lot. And I don't know if you've noticed, but I think Keldon Johnson's getting a lot more looks now. I think Ashton Hagans has been able to incorporate him. He looks like he might be a top 10 pick. He's been playing really great. They're so talented. Obviously, they don't have the top three players in the nation, but they're so talented. I would not be surprised if they're in the Final Four.
I agree. Just, you know, with how Calipari just runs the table usually. But we'll always have one. We'll have a couple of upsetting teams this year, I'm sure. It kind of feels like one of those years where obviously after Duke, you know, Tennessee and whatever. But it feels like we have a lot of like lower tier teams that are going to get it done this year in the tournament. I'm excited. We'll have a great month of March.
Oh, month of March is my favorite month of the year. I love it. It's wall to wall basketball and wall to wall. My wife mad at me, so it's fantastic.
So, Michael, we are going to do something quite fun today. So last week, you and I went through our top five prospects and kind of went through the best fit and worst fit for each one of those players. Today, we are going to do our first of what will likely be many mock drafts. However, we're going to throw a little spin on it today. So first rule, we are only going to do the lottery. So we're just going to do the top four teams.
Correct.
Second, our lottery order is going to be provided to us by Tankathon. So we're going to sim the lottery and we're just going to go for it. So Michael and I will go back and forth. We'll each keep picking players, obviously, until we get to 14. And then from there, we'll go back. We'll review if there's any that are like big time steals or a couple drops. We'll definitely note them as we go. But Michael, welcome here. I gotta play a little dramatic music. Welcome to the first. Oh, that's not the right music. Oh, that wasn't what we're looking for at all. That was wild.
I liked
sad.
It though. I liked it.
It was. If you have a bad take, I'll play it for you. But that was just kind of depressing. Well, actually, well, no, we're the Tanking Support Group.
I try not to have bad takes.
That's fair. You know what? We all do, but even the best of us slip up from time to time.
Correct. I did say Giannis was not going to step up 2 years ago.
And here we are today with him just literally dunking all over everybody. All right, Michael, you ready for it? You ready to randomize our lottery here and attack the day? All righty. So again, for those of you who don't know what Tankathon is, go to tankathon.com. You can randomize their NBA draft lottery simulator. You can look at their big board. They have different mock drafts. It's a great website for the NBA draft fans out there who aren't looking for like deep analysis, but like the surface level stuff. Tankathon does a great job. So here we go. Drum roll, please. You can get the little where are my little drums. Ready? There we go. Drum roll. The first pick in the NBA draft this year goes to the Atlanta Hawks. Huge upset for the number one overall pick. Michael, I'm going to give it to you. You can pick for the Atlanta Hawks at number one overall.
Well, with the first pick in the 2019 NBA draft, they will take none other than Zion Williamson from Duke. 6 foot six, anywhere from 6 foot six, 6 foot eight. I've seen him listed. The guy's just a beast. He's going to be awesome in Atlanta. He's going to be able to slide right in probably on the four slot. And I think this is a big coup. If Atlanta can get the number one pick, this would just be amazing with Trae Young jacking threes and giving alley-oops to Zion. they're going to be one of the most fun teams to watch in the
with
NBA.
Another top 10 pick coming up at pick number 9, because they have the Dallas Mavericks pick from the Luka Doncic trade. So even bigger of a move.
It's going to be a great, it's going to be a great day.
I like
for
that
them.
With the Hawks, though. You know, just with Zion, obviously he's going to go number 1 overall, but I feel like pairing Zion Williamson and John Collins together down low is just a very good modern day front court. And I think the two of them will be able to do a ton of damage. I like that.
I mean, you're almost going to have to. I mean, I guess you could slide Zion into and just be a rough three, and you could run him and Collins if you can get a shot blocker, or you could move Collins to the center. There's so many different things you can do with this lineup. I like
Trae Young and Zion would certainly be a special time. Let's go to number 2 here. At the number 2 overall pick, another big time upset. It's the Memphis Grizzlies who keep their lottery pick. Remember, if it falls out of the top 6, it goes to the Celtics. So Memphis getting another number 2 is a big coup here. I'm going to kind of follow along with, you know, what we would expect to happen to the draft without injuries. If I'm Memphis, I am absolutely taking RJ Barrett. Now, I see Ja Morant on the board, and I wonder to myself, do I trade Mike Conley on draft night for a lottery pick and take Ja Morant? Maybe I do. But in this case, I think if they keep Mike Conley, they get the number 2 pick, they're going to take RJ Barrett. They slot him into the wing. You can play the 2 or the 3. He's a great combination with Jaren Jackson Jr. And all of a sudden, you have 2 top 5 picks that can make the NBA jealous. They have a great front court right now. I love what they're doing with Jaren Jackson Jr. He's great. And also, Memphis would give RJ Barrett a stage. I think that he's a guy who is going to be like a I want my own team kind of guy in the NBA. And you give him to Memphis, you let Zion go to Atlanta, I think RJ Barrett is going to blossom as a great wing player. He can end up being a Paul George level player if he gets coached up correctly in Memphis. I'm going to take Barrett at 2.
Oh, I love that pick. That's amazing. It's almost like a perfect fit.
It really
for
is.
Him. Memphis's wings are it's kind of a mosh of unlikely people all together meshed up in their wings. And if they can get some stability, whether it's at the 2, whether it's at the 3, get another shooter next to him along with Mike Conley. Plus, I think RJ Barrett's playmaking skills have just blossomed in the last month or two. And I think, I mean, can you imagine him and Jaren Jackson running the break or Conley leading the break with those two guys? Memphis would be also fun to watch. Maybe not as fun as Atlanta, but they would definitely be fun. And I think RJ Barrett's outside shot's starting to come around. I think he's a
stud. The coup also here for the Memphis Grizzlies, dude, just imagine a half court offense with Jaren Jackson Jr. and RJ Barrett. Sure, at first it might be a little rough because I still don't know how RJ Barrett's shot is going to translate to the NBA. But the amount of just pick and roll chaos that you could cause with those two is just not fair. Because I actually think RJ Barrett's a better ball handler than people give him credit for. And I think at the NBA level, he'll be fine handling the ball on a half court offense. I would love to see him run a pick and roll with Jaren Jackson Jr. That'd be a great combo. Be very Mike Conley Marc Gasol-esque, if you ask me.
Oh my goodness, you're exactly right. They can run a 2-5 if Jax is at the 5 or the 4. Pick and roll. They can have him roll and they can pick and pop. Jackson can shoot from the outside. There's just a lot of elements to RJ Barrett fitting in. And I understand that grabbing Morant would maybe be, you know, if you could find someone to take Conley, but you're not going to just give Conley away. You're going to need a good deal.
And also, if you're the Grizzlies and you draft Barrett, do you want to trade Conley? Like, wouldn't you rather just keep Conley in his contract and just kind of let him nurture like the next young, like great Memphis Grizzly? I actually think they'd keep him if they get a top 3 pick.
I agree with you 100%, and I understand we're supposed to probably disagree on things.
It makes
I
too
agree
much
with
sense.
You 100% on everything with Conley, because you're right. He could mentor those two young players and basically help them blossom. And then when Conley decides to leave, he either re-ups or he goes someplace else and tries to win.
Because the Grizzlies' clear plan is to keep Conley and then deal him on draft night if they lose their first round pick. Like, that's just they've made like they with not trading him at the deadline. He's going to get dealt at the draft if the Celtics get their pick, because they got to get someone in the top 5 that can play basketball with Jaren Jackson Jr. So,
yeah, I fully expect Memphis to have this pick. I can't see that. They're just going to lose a lot of games, I would say, the rest of the season. But it's going to be interesting. It's going to rely on where they're picking.
Let's go to number 3. And at number 3, probably the most disappointed franchise in the NBA, is the New York Knicks. Now, we have a lot of fantastic players on the board. Michael, obviously the probable pick would be Ja Morant, but with Dennis Smith Jr. in town, do you have a surprise pick for us?
I do. I am going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to take Cam Reddish at
number
three.
I like it.
Just because Ja Morant, while he is spectacular, and he's got, I think, more point guard skills than Dennis Smith, Dennis Smith's doing a lot of the things for the Knicks that I think Ja Morant will do, if that makes sense. Minus maybe, I think he's much more of a playmaker, but we don't know what the Knicks free agency plans are. We don't know if Kyrie and Durant is a real possibility. And now you could put Reddish, you could either, I mean, if we're hypothetically, let's say you get Durant, you could, I think you could play Reddish as a two, or if you don't, you play him at the three, you play Knox at the four. I think there's a, I love the NBA now, how it's so versatile. Players can play multiple positions. I think Reddish needs his shot to come back, which it did last week for a game. But I would like his shot to come back, and I would feel much more confident with this pick. But as of right now, I'm just going
to
stick
with Reddish. If there's one coach in the NBA who I would actually trust to develop Cam Reddish in the way that he needs to be developed, it's probably... I'm totally blank. I can't believe it just had his name on it. It's probably the head coach in the New York Knicks whose name is
David Fizdale.
Good Lord, my brain just totally pooped out. Sorry, guys. I drove 3 hours from Austin to Dallas today. But I think if Fizdale would be the perfect coach to be able to coach up Cam Reddish, especially with how his shot is a little bit struggling. But we saw in a couple of Duke games over the past couple of weeks that he's really started to get more adventurous with his shot taking. We've seen him start to try to, you know, input like step back threes into his game. I've seen him try to go to the hole a little bit more. He's just trying to develop an offensive game on the fly while being on the number one team. I think going to the Knicks with Durant next to him and there not being a lot of scoring pressure on him, there is one worry though with that pick though, Michael. Knicks fans are going to hate you
because
they're going to say that you just drafted the forward version of Frankie Smokes. So I don't know. You might get run out of town in New York.
Well, the thing about the draft is the Knicks are going to boo whoever
they
take.
That's a good point. Unless it's Zion.
The Knicks fans. Unless it's Zion. Exactly.
Let's go to number four. At number four, with the number four overall pick, probably one of the greatest saving graces of any franchise ever. At number four, the New Orleans Pelicans. Facing down the barrel of trading the best player in their franchise history and falling into their lap at number four, the point guard they have been waiting for how long has it been since that franchise traded Chris Paul? It's been about a decade now, right?
And then they traded for Jrue Holiday, and he'd rather play the two guard.
So we at number four, the New Orleans Pelicans, you can have Anthony Davis, totally fine. I am totally okay rebuilding my team around Ja Morant, the point guard from Murray State, getting some Russell Westbrook athletic comparisons. I find the Russell Westbrook comparison to be a little bit lazy. Just personally, he's super athletic, yes. But comparing anyone to Russell Westbrook is kind of difficult because of how Westbrook's career has panned out and has gone in so many different directions. To me, I think Ja Morant is going to be one of those guys who's just so unbelievably unique in the sport that eventually someone is going to get comparisons to him. He's not really like anything in the NBA right now in terms of a combination of athleticism, explosiveness, along with his youth and his playmaking ability. It's just, he is such a brilliant combo of a couple different skills. My worry with him, though, if you're the Pelicans, you obviously take him in instantly. I wonder what his fit is going to be like next to Jrue Holiday. Because Ja Morant, to me, and I think, Michael, you can agree with this too, he is a guy in the NBA who needs to have the ball in his hands to be effective. But Jrue Holiday does also, as does Julius Randle. So I wonder if the fit is a little bit iffy, but with his talent on the board, you almost have to take him.
Oh, it's a no-brainer to take him right here. And then you worry about the rest later. I fully expect New Orleans to get a top five pick, and I fully expect them to deal Jrue Holiday.
Ooh, that's interesting.
That's just my opinion. I know that his name was bandied about. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to bring in – so basically you're going to trade Anthony Davis, and you're going to get a bunch of players, and Jrue Holiday is going to be happy. I can't see it. You know, I just think that he's going to probably want out. But if he stays, you're right. And he needs the ball in his hands, whether he's playing off the ball. I mean, quote unquote, off the ball, because he's not playing, you know, taking up point guard responsibilities, but he's still got the ball in his hands a lot. You're right. Once the ball goes down into Julius Randle, sometimes he's a black hole. And you wonder if he can, you know, become a better passer. But the problem is Julius Randle is such a beast down low. You just let him work, you know. Morant's going to get a lot of loose ball deflections. He's just going to be exciting to watch. That's what I love about this draft. I think the top five, there's so many exciting players. And if New Orleans gets fortunate to be in the top five, I think Morant's going to be high on their list. Absolutely.
I think another thing with Morant that is going to – this is why New Orleans is going to be a good destination for him. And again, no hate coming from me over here. Ja Morant is currently playing for Murray State, a school where his athleticism and his potential NBA draft stock just wildly eclipses the relevancy of the school. So if you're Morant, it'd be really tough to go from that program where you are the guy. You have the ball in your hands in every single important moment. I think it'd be tough for him to go to a New York who could get a big-time free agent and Morant isn't getting those big shots. I think he'd be a weird fit in Phoenix with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. Again, another place where he's not going to be the guy. But if he goes to New Orleans and Anthony Davis gets traded, that's the perfect landing spot for him. He gets to be the guy. His usage rate is going to be outrageous as a rookie, but it'll be a good transition for him into the NBA.
Absolutely. Nothing like, you know, getting your feet wet right away. And obviously Anthony Davis is going to be traded, and I don't know what kind of assets they're going to get back for him. My guess is if Ball's involved, he will be sent to a third team. So that's still going to open up a spot for Morant, or if they make a deal with Boston, I don't think they're going to get a point guard back. So, I mean, there's so many endless possibilities with how this roster is going to look next year. And getting a top four pick would just be icing on the cake of what was really a rocky couple weeks during the deadline, and maybe put them back in the positive fan base, because right now things are so bad in New Orleans. I have a feeling they're just going to have a bad second half of the season.
It's going to go downhill real fast. Speaking of going downhill real fast, let's talk about the Phoenix Suns. They have the pick at number five. And if you can listen closely, you can hear the entire city of Phoenix flipping their collective tables over not having Ja Morant eventually fall to them. So the number one point guard on the board is gone. The other three Duke guys are gone. So we are through the top four prospects for both of us. Phoenix, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, who do you pair with them?
Well, I know me and you really both like this guy. Unfortunately, he's coming off of a knee injury, and he's the next best point guard on the list, and they need a point guard worse than anything. I'm going to give him Darius Garland of Vanderbilt. It's kind of a gamble, and like you and me both agree, if he was healthy, he'd probably be fifth on our draft boards. If he can come in and work out and get himself back into the top five talk, Phoenix is point guard hungry. They're so point guard hungry that they took on a ton of money in Tyler Johnson to run point.
That's not a good idea.
Have you seen that guy? Have you seen that guy run?
It's not
point?
Great. It's not it great, is, Michael.
It's bad. It's terrible. So I think that Garland is a perfect fit here. Like we said, the knee injury, it's going to be a problem. You know, and what I like about Garland is Garland's not like Ja Morant. He's not going to, I mean, his usage rate may be up, but he knows how to defer. And he'd have Booker and Ayton, Booker on the wing. He'd have Josh Jackson on a wing, Mikal Bridges on a wing, and he'd have Ayton down low that he can, you know, feed the ball to. And I think he could average eventually 10 assists a game. I just think he's that type of player.
I like the pick. I think that he'll end up being good in the NBA. And again, the Suns aren't trying to be good right now. So if he needs a year to like get his legs under him, literally, then I think that actually makes a good amount of sense. Though, I am surprised with the Garland pick, because if you're the Suns, you're coming off number one overall, taking a center. You just gave Devin Booker that massive contract. I wonder how patient Phoenix is going to be be willing to be with Garland. Though I will say this:
well,
I'm skeptical if this Garland injury was really going to keep him out all season, and I wonder if he's trying to pull a Bosa and is like, I'm injured. I could come back, but I should probably just prep for the draft, right? That's kind of what
he's already declared for the draft. Exactly. He's already declared for there the draft. And not only that, looking at my draft board, in the top 10, actually in the top 11, I got five of the six are wings, mm-hmm. you know, and Phoenix doesn't need any more wings. Mm-hmm. They're all winged out.
They
have a really good one. They have a good one in Booker. They have a guy who's starting to come along in Josh Bridges, and they have a defensive stalwart in Mikal Bridges. I don't think another wing would fit in there.
That's fair.
Roster, so they need a top three that's pick. Fair. They need a top three pick bad.
That's true. Very true. Well, that's our top five. You guys are listening to the Believe in NBA Prospects show. I'm your host, Harris Rubenstein. Across from me is my co-host, Michael Mancy. We are the Tanking Support Group. If you guys want to see Michael and I's big board along with the combination of the other writers at upandunder.net, go to that exact website, upandunder.net, and go click on our big board tab. You guys can see where we rank all of these guys. So let's go to number six now, Michael. At number six is the Cleveland Cavaliers. Huge, huge, huge draft pick for Kobe Altman as the GM of the Cavs. They definitely reached last year for Colin Sexton. I think, you know, he's a good player.
It's working out, though.
It's working out. You know, it was a reach, but, you know, it was a reach that the player with the – how do I explain this? I want to put this in a correct terms. The player's skill set wasn't a reach for the pick. However, there were players on the board that were better than him. Is that fair?
Yeah, I could say that.
Because they desperately needed a point guard. They just needed someone to build a franchise around, and he was the best guard on the board.
And I really do think that they thought LeBron was out the door anyways. And I think that they wanted an exciting player, and Sexton's an exciting player.
So now if you're the Cavs, you reached kind of last year for Colin Sexton. You're Kobe Altman. You're trying to save your job. You didn't get a top three pick. All that tanking for nothing. You got to go with a safe pick here. You got to go safe. You got to go with someone who you can just slot in, you know, is going to get buckets. You can develop him easily. He's coming to the NBA with a lot of tools ready to go. I'm taking Jared Culver from Texas Tech.
Oh, I love you so much.
I love it.
That is the pick I wanted. I thought for sure you're going to take your boy.
No,
I swear.
I was thinking about Langford, but I think in a modern day NBA where the Cavs, again, who I think are going to make a safe pick this year, they cannot reach for like a Sekou Doumbia or a Nazir Little. They can't reach like that again for athleticism. They need someone with NBA ready tools. Now, I question Jarrett Culver's ceiling as an NBA player. I think he could be a guy like a CJ McCollum who hits his ceiling at a pretty responsible age and then is just that good for his NBA career. And if you can draft CJ McCollum into Jarrett Culver, then you're going to make that every day of the week. So he's a great combo with Sexton. He can provide them with a little bit of outside shooting. He's explosive around the rim. They need a Colin Sexton to me will always be better if he has a go-to guy. He's a great quarterback. I think he'd be a great floor general if given the proper tools. And Jared Culver is the first of many tools that'd be great to put next to Colin Sexton. So Culver from Texas Tech, he's also a little bit older than some of the guys. He's a sophomore, 20 years old right now. I like his age. I like his NBA ready tools. I think he's a safe pick for Kobe Altman.
I love it. I really do. Jared Culver was the guy I was hoping you'd pick. I thought for sure you're going to take your boy Langford.
I got to wait on him.
But you're right. I think Culver is the safe pick. I think Culver has proven himself more than Langford has. And I just love Culver's game. Every time I watch him, he moves up on my board. I love him. He's one of my favorite players to watch. My only problem is he's so passive.
Yes.
I want him to take the ball, and I want him to dunk over the biggest guy
out
there.
But that's what Colin Sexton's for.
Well, I get that, but that's what I want Culver to be, because I think Culver would be he's so talented, and I know he didn't get a lot of usage last year with Zaire Smith there, but I think he's going to be the better player on the next level by far.
Definitely agreed. All right, number seven. Another devastating drop. All the teams that needed high picks dropped out. At number seven, the Chicago Bulls. Still a lot of talent left on the board, though. But in terms of fit, I don't know, Michael. I'm a little bit stuck here. Who do you have the Bulls getting?
Well, they need a point guard. They're not sold on Chris Dunn. There are no point guards available. this high up because the top two point guards are gone. I think they're going to go with probably the safest pick in this area. Probably won't be a starter, but it'll be an anchor in the second unit. I'm going with DeAndre Hunter.
Ooh, I like Virginia. You're way higher on him than I am, but you...
I am, but I see his... I've almost put his defense before his offense, and which I normally don't do. I don't do that on any other prospect, but for some reason I have on him. And like I've told you, my five changes every week. My six change, they change every week. It's crazy. I've never seen a draft this in flux, this even this close to March. So I like Hunter going here. Obviously, the Bulls would like a point guard, and they would be devastated if they fell here.
I think also with the Bulls, look, they did trade for Otto Porter. He's played a lot of good minutes for them so far this season. LaVine is there. But I think if you're trying to like project the future of the Bulls, you don't draft Wendell Carter Jr. if you're not trying to build through defense. And Hunter's going to bring that to them.
He absolutely. And I think you could see a forward rotation of Hunter, Porter, and Markkanen. And they could even go small, too, at Markkanen in the middle when Carter needs a rest. Mm-hmm. So there's just different things they can do with a lineup that looks like this. And it was tough for me because I don't think – I'm trying to figure out how to say this, but I don't think there would be enough minutes for a wing, like a more of a shooting guard, because Levine's going to get a lot of minutes, if that makes sense. And I just don't think that they're going to waste their time – developing a wing when they just signed
Levine
to a big contract. And Porter, they can always change their mind on.
So, and also at seven with Chicago, if they do end up with that pick and both the top point guards are off the board, I don't think they'd reach for like a Kobe White or the kid from St. John's whose name is currently escaping me.
Shamori.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think they're going to bring in someone like that. I actually think if they end up at seven, I think they trade that pick. I think they're out of there. They're gone.
Oh, I think if they anywhere outside the top five, they trade.
Because if they're at seven, Absolutely. Maybe, you know, because again, one thing I didn't mention at the start, in this simulator that we have done, the Lakers, the Kings both missed the playoffs. So they are both in the lottery, hilariously, I guess the Lakers. So this would be a prime spot for me if I was the Lakers to trade up to seven. And maybe you start looking at a couple like, you know, maybe a Romeo Langford. There's... Maybe you take a little bit of a fun pick. Maybe you take Bol Bol if you're the Lakers at seven, trade up and take a little project. I don't know. It'd be fun.
I would be okay with Bol Bol.
Let's move on.
I like them.
Let's move on from the Bulls. At number eight, we got the Wizards. So if I'm the Wizards, I'm pissed because you just took my guy in DeAndre Hunter. You just took my instant Otto Porter like fix. So
probably
I now have Jabari Parker and Bobby Portis. I still have Bradley Beal. John Wall will return. I have no clue. I just have no idea when John Wall is going to come back. Dwight Howard's going to be gone. So they need to start building through talent and length. They lost a lot of an Otto Porter. So at number, where are we at right here? At number eight.
Eight.
I'm going to take Jackson Hayes from Texas. Now, I'm worried about his modern day or his fit in the modern day NBA. You know, if you're a big man,
yeah, he's more of a post.
You got to be able to move. You got to be able to shoot from the outside. But if you're the Wizards and you're trying to create a team that builds well together, especially now with the injuries you have, you need to look towards Indiana. You need to go see what they're doing with Oladipo and mimic that with Bradley Beal. Now, Miles Turner, another center from Texas, ironically, has not turned into the player they thought he was going to be. But he makes their offense and their defense work in a lot of really creative ways. He comes off the pick and roll well. He can work well in the post. He can eat up people on defense. And I think Jackson Hayes, he won't start his first year. But the more and more you involve him with Beal and Portis and Wall, I think his offensive game is just going to blossom. You could not have asked for some better distributors to help him get open looks. And eventually, if he's a center in 2019 and he's serious about being like a great NBA player, he will learn how to shoot. I'm not worried about that.
Look at Brook Lopez.
Exactly.
Brook Lopez just learned
how to
shoot.
He's 34 years old and is now raining threes from 37 feet. Like, it's wild. Like, Brook Lopez, 6 years ago, if you told me he'd be the best three-point shooter on the first seed in the East, I would have slapped you in the face. It makes no sense.
Absolutely. That's a little high for me
it
for
is
Jackson
a reach.
Hayes.
It is.
However, he would fit a need because they're going to have a need in the middle at center. And you're right. I don't know how he's going to be switching. He sometimes looks – he looks a little bit lazy on the court sometimes. You could tell he's got all the gifts. He's got all the gifts that he's going to be a good player. I just don't see – I don't know. Maybe it's this millennial thing. They just don't look like they have fire out there. They're just going through the motions. I'm a little bit confused what Washington's going to do.
They are too.
They're going to have a glaring hole at point guard because John Wall's going to be gone. But do you take a point guard? No, because John Wall's eventually coming back. You know,
and you're tied to him for 3 years at $40 million plus for the next 3 years.
Yeah, no one's taking that unless LeBron strikes out six times on free agency. Then maybe you could trade for him. But Washington's in a bad spot right now.
That's kind of why this pick was really tough because, you know, you look at the guys left on our board. You know, you have like a Brandon Clark with Gonzaga, Romeo Langford, Indiana, Keldon Johnson with Kentucky. I mean, if you really wanted to reach, you could take Dumbia. It's just, if you're the Wizards there, I know that filling needs is a very like unpopular thing. And I know that sometimes you just draft the best player available. I honestly don't know who the best player available is. And I think the Wizards are going to fall in love with Jackson Hayes' length and athleticism, just like they've done in the past with, you know, a Jan Vesely or even the past couple of years when they, you know, drafted a Kelly Oubre. Like, they love length. They love athleticism. And I think they're going to fall in love with Jackson Hayes.
That's very possible. Very possible.
All right, let's go to our next pick here. Let's go to number 9. So at number 9 fell the Dallas Mavericks. However, as mentioned before, the Dallas Mavericks do not have their first-round pick this year. They traded it to the Hawks in the Trae Young, Luka Doncic trade. So you are back on the clock as the Hawks, Michael. Just make you the GM at this point.
Wow. The Hawks.
So you already have Zion. You got Trae Young. You drafted Kevin Huerter in the late first last year. He's been a nice pick. John Collins has come along quite well the past 2 years. So you're packed with young talent now, and you can add to it in a big way here.
So I am going to go to the modern day NBA, and I am going to move John Collins to center. That leaves Zion as my power forward, and I'm going to take Keldon Johnson from Kentucky.
I like it.
And I'm going to match him with Huerter and Trae Young for my guards and wings, and I am going to just let all the jumpers fly.
I love it. That's a good fit.
You know, and I wanted to reach for Bol Bol. I really did right here. I just wanted to.
I honestly thought you were going to take Bol Bol.
Oh, my God.
So close.
I wanted to so bad. But hypothetically, if the Hawks did not draft Zion with number one, I might have went Bol Bol. Mm-hmm. But I want Zion to be more of – I don't want him to be more of a wing, if that makes sense.
Are you worried? Are you worried about Keldon Johnson's defense in the NBA?
A little bit. But I'm also worried about Trae Young's.
Yeah.
I'm also worried about Huerter's, he's not as bad as the other two. I just think that they're just gonna score 140 points a game and just hope for the best. You know, and Zion's not even a great defender. He's got it better. He's a real good help defender.
I'll give you this.
Instincts.
We have no idea if Zion's going to be a good defender in the NBA yet. We just don't. He's a true mystery.
He is definitely a mystery in this draft. But I like the way he comes and help defends. And John Collins can help defend. John Collins is not really a typical modern-day five, but – you know, I mean, at this day and age, it's just basically put a point guard out there, a couple shooters and a couple bigs, and you just run with it. So I think that's what the Hawks are going to do here.
We've picked a lot of good players so far. Let's go back through, and we're going to list off players. So we're about to hit the number 10 pick, who I'll announce in a second. So number 1 overall, we had the Atlanta Hawks taking Zion Williamson. And number 2, we had the Memphis Grizzlies taking RJ Barrett. And number 3, the New York Knicks, who, again, the saddest fan base in the NBA. They do not get Zion. They end up with Cam Reddish, who I actually think is a pretty good consolation prize. Number 4 after the Knicks was the New Orleans Pelicans. They somehow end up with Ja Morant, and they are totally fine trading Anthony Davis now. Phoenix. You gave Phoenix. Correct me if I'm wrong. You gave Phoenix.
Darius Garland.
Darius Garland. Thank you. I wrote down his name incorrectly. Good job by me. I can't even spell, nor can I speak. Cleveland at number six. This was a fun one for me. I gave them Jarrett Culver out of Texas Tech. Number seven, the Chicago Bulls. You went DeAndre Hunter, who might not start right away, but will definitely help them reignite the defense on that team. And then at number eight with the Wizards, I had them reaching for Jackson Hayes, the center out of Texas. Then right there at number nine for the Atlanta Hawks. An interesting pick for sure. But at the end of the day, at the Atlanta Hawks, they get Keldon Johnson, the small forward for Kentucky. We're at number 10 now. We got four picks left, Michael. We're getting close. Or five picks, I should say. I can't count. I can't spell. I can't speak. Not a great day for me.
It's been a long day.
It really has. 3 hours of driving, especially with Texas drivers, is just not what you're looking for. At number 10, it's the Orlando Magic. Really interesting team.
Interesting.
Really interesting team. Desperate for a point guard, but just traded for Markelle Fultz. So you wonder if they want to invest more assets at point guard if they just got Fultz.
On a side note, I think that they fully expect Markelle Fultz to be their starting point guard next year.
Exactly. Agreed.
That's just my opinion.
They still, obviously, you know, Mo Bamba they drafted last year. Aaron Gordon they gave that huge contract to. I would expect, while I'm making this pick, I am expecting Nikola Vucevic to leave. I think he's gone. I don't know why they keep him. So if I'm the Magic and I'm scanning my board, I'm looking for a player who I think can fit well next to Markelle Fultz. It's a tough one. Might be a little bit of a reach, but he's my guy. I'm going to go with Romeo Langford here.
I had a feeling you were.
This feels like the right landing spot for him because – well, Markelle Fultz is going to – I think he's just going to continue to struggle in the NBA shooting. I don't think there's ever going to be a time where you look up and you're like, wow, Markelle Fultz is shooting 51% for the season like we see Kyrie Irving do sometimes. But right. Langford is going to be able to be on the opposite end of a lot of great, great backcourt moves with Markelle Fultz. I know his three-point shot isn't great. I know he has a lot of question marks maybe about effort. But I think Orlando would be a nice landing spot for him. You have already your center in Mo Bamba, and you have your primary scorer in Aaron Gordon. It might just open up more shots for Romeo Langford. And I want to say one more thing. While Langford's three-point shot might be pretty terrible right now, it's really bad, there is no way that Romeo Langford, at the age of 19 years old, is not going to get better at three-point shooting. It's just impossible. There's no way.
He's I agree 100%.
He literally cannot get worse. So if he wants to be a real NBA player, I think he's going to have to improve his three-point shot. But Orlando is probably the best place for him to do that with all the other options on their team. It's just, man, that backcourt is going to suck at shooting for a really long time until Langford develops.
Well, I hate to tell you, but that whole starting lineup's going to suck at shooting because I'm not the biggest Aaron Gordon fan.
I'm not either.
I would never have given him that money.
One thing that is cool about that contract, though, is that it decreases in total payments every single year. So the most he got paid was actually this year.
This year. And yeah. You know what, though? I don't think he makes that contract.
Me neither. He's getting dealt. He's so getting traded.
Because I don't think him and Jonathan Isaac are a good match up front. I just don't like it.
Oh, God.
I don't like it at all.
Yeah, with Isaac, too. That whole team can't shoot.
So you got a starting lineup that can't shoot. And I'm wondering, because Orlando, in this crazy thing we watch called the NBA, is on a tear. They beat the Bucks by 20. They beat Phoenix by like 38 points or something.
Oh, yeah. They've won like seven of their last 10.
They are on fire with that terrible starting lineup. I mean, DJ Augustine's probably the best shooter on the starting five right now.
That's not great. That's not what you want.
And he was good back in the day, but I mean, he's getting older. I don't get it, or I don't get Orlando. My only thing with Langford is here is I think Orlando thinks that they're ready. I think Orlando thinks they're where Brooklyn is right now.
Okay, that's
fair. And I think that's where they feel that they're going to be. So I don't know if they're going to want to
be their D'Angelo Russell
guy who may need some time.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's fair. I'll give that to you. But
I mean, that's my only problem with it. Other than that, I think the two guard might be. You know, but at this point, there ain't really any other guards right now because we've eaten them all up. So
and Michael, they can't take another forward. They just can't. They can't do it. You cannot draft.
Oh, it's Orlando. They could if they wanted to. I mean,
But then they're the Sacramento Kings from 5 years ago who drafted like a forward like 6 years in a row in the first round. You can't do it. They have to go guard.
Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, you're right. The good analogy with Sacramento. That's fantastic.
Poor Thomas Robinson, man. That guy was supposed to be good, and he just got drafted by the wrong team.
You know what the sad part is?
What?
The sad part is Willie Cauley-Stein is the best player in that starting five. In that starting big men.
Oh, yeah. He's crazy. I'm actually very happy with how he's developed in the NBA. He can't shoot, but that's fine. They basically said you can only do about five things well, and they just made him really, really good at those five things. He can run the floor really well in transition. He can rim protect really well. I'm big on the Kings. I think they're going to make the playoffs next year, or maybe this year. We'll see.
All right, who's at 11?
At 11, you have a very interesting pick here, because not only are the Miami Heat at pick number 11, there are some rumors that this might be Pat Riley's last first round pick. So you know he's going to want to go out on a high horse here. You're at number 11. This might be a good reaching spot if there's someone you like, but if there's a safe pick you're looking at, you could also go that way.
I'm going to reach a little bit just because I think this is a Pat Riley type of guy. I'm going to take Nasir Little.
Ooh, interesting.
His stock has slipped, obviously, as of late. I still see him getting a lot of lottery love, and I just think that he's a good pick for Miami. Justice Winslow is not his best position is now point guard.
He is the LeBron James point forward. Like it's crazy to see. Like he literally made a position, and Justice Winslow is that position. It's cool to watch.
I mean, exactly. So now you got a couple wings. I mean, Little's not going to be a starter his first year. No one who's picked at 11 for Miami is going to probably be a starter next year, unless they get it like a four, because their four has been fluctuating all season. But I just think Little is a Pat Riley type of guy. He's tough. He's big. He's strong. He does a lot of little things. He is not a great one-on-one defender. He was a great one-on-one defender, but he hasn't really shown it at North Carolina. I mean, obviously going from high school to college is a big step up for these kids.
Yeah, really.
And he just hasn't. He's been late on rotations. But I think you put him with Eric Spoelstra, who is a defensive-minded coach, and you just unleash Nasir Little. I think he has a chance to be a dynamite defensive player, and his offensive game is starting to come around. He's had a couple good games for North Carolina. I
like the reach. I like it. That's a good reach.
It just, I mean, I don't really, like I said, the talent from like, I don't know, six on is just,
it's nuts. And also with the Miami Heat, if you're them, you trust Spoelstra enough to take a Nasir Little to know that he's going to be able to turn him into an NBA guy.
Spoelstra's probably he's top three or four Spoelstra. Coach in this NBA.
I'm such a fan of his.
He doesn't get the
love he deserves.
You know what? And I know he didn't get a lot of credit for the Miami Heat team because obviously LeBron was the guy, but
yeah.
Eric Spoelstra, he made that his team, you know, and they won two championships.
I know it's easy. People always say like it's easy to make the playoffs in the East, but like go look at the roster that Eric Spoelstra had last year and ask yourself, how did this dude get that team to the playoffs? How is that even possible? That team was awful. Their best player was Hassan Whiteside, who played like 12 minutes a night by like the game 80. It was awful.
He couldn't do anything with Justice Winslow. Couldn't do anything with Justice Nothing. Winslow. And then Goran Dragic gets hurt, and then he's like, I don't have a point guard. Yeah, Justice, you're going to run the team right now. And that they've been doing really well.
I love it.
It's crazy. Because Justice Winslow was getting ready to be traded, whatever, labeled a bust, whatever. And now he's a do everything. I mean, he's not a high scorer, but he does everything for Miami right now. He's probably playing the best ball.
Oh, for sure. He's definitely become the best player on their team so far. I mean, you also have the likes of like a Josh Richardson, who's also a really nice player.
He started hot,
but he's kind of tapered off here as the middle of the season went on, but he'll come back around. I'm not worried about him.
No, I really think Spoelstra does a lot with Little.
So let's go to number 12 here. Let's go to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And man, you I can't believe this dude has fallen to them, because I don't think there's a better, there might not be many better player to team fits in this year's draft. If I'm the Timberwolves, I'm sitting here at 12. I'm taking Brandon Clark from Gonzaga. Gimme.
Oh, wow.
Easy. Gimme. Absolutely. Look, you're looking for, because remember, you have Towns and you have Wiggins. You need someone who can play with them. You also have Josh Okogie who can play the two. I would think point guard, but again, like we've talked about, this is not a point guard heavy draft. Like you could reach for like Trey Jones right now and probably look like an idiot. But if you're the Timberwolves and you need someone who can play with Wiggins and with Towns, I'm going to take Brandon Clark. He can play two different positions at the three or the four. He can score like the Dickens. He's a great defender on both sides. He's leading college basketball in blocks right now with four a game. He's an outstanding player in terms of win shares and advanced analytics. My favorite thing about him, sure, he can't really shoot threes. He doesn't attempt them. Fine, whatever. He shoots 70% from the floor. He shoots 70% from the floor, and I don't need him to shoot threes. Karl Anthony Towns can shoot threes for me. That's fine. I need a dude who I know can get buckets and will equal wins. I don't think Clark is going to be a big like stat guy, but he will be like a Marcus Smart for that team. He will just equal wins, and good Lord, that team needs wins. I think he'd be a great fit next to Towns.
Wow, that was I don't have him ranked that high. I do have him in the first round talk, but I don't have him ranked that high.
This place in the lottery, I'll let you into my mind a little bit here, Michael. When you're in this place in the lottery and you think you're as close as the Timberwolves obviously think they are with Towns and Wiggins, you need to find guys at this point who you can't draft projects anymore. They don't have time for projects. Like they got to start winning.
And he's more experienced, too.
He's not just some random kid who played college basketball for 1 year. He is the best player on one of the best teams in the country. He's 22 years old already, a little bit more mature. And also, he's from Canada. So going to Minnesota, it's probably be pretty nice for him.
Yeah, him and Andrew Wiggins can talk to each other in Canadian.
Exactly. There you go. Talking Canadian, LOL. Look, I know that people are going to look at his age and kind of give him some demerits for it. I know that usually those guys kind of go in the Kyle Kuzma territory, but look, I think he's going to dominate for Gonzaga in the tournament. I think he is going to rip people up. He's 6'8", 215. He just scores crazy amounts of points. And also, when you have these great teams like a Gonzaga, who, you know, the only team to beat Duke this year, you have to look at the guys on that team. Who makes them tick? It's like a couple of years ago with Kelly Olynyk on Gonzaga. He clearly made them tick. They work almost everything through Brandon Clark. I know they have Rui Hachimura. I like Clark better. I think he's going to translate to wins quicker in the NBA.
Wow. I mean,
I'm big on him. I like Clark.
I do think Clark is a good fit for Minnesota. Like I said, you have him higher than I do, which tells you how crazy this first round is going to be, because there's going to be a lot of guys that we don't think are going to go. But how many times has a player like a junior or a senior been drafted in the 25 to 30 range and turned out into a stud?
Exactly.
Kyle Kuzma, and then obviously Jimmy Butler, other guys who've just been around for, you know, 3 years have turned into studs. But because they're a junior, their stock might not be as high as some of these guys who have all the, you know, all the youth on their side, and they turn out to be something else. So, I mean, I do think that is a good pick. I think that for Minnesota,
I can accept that it's a reach, but one other thing about my kind of the way I draft players, I love guys who come from great college coaches, especially if they've been there for a long time. Like those dudes, if they have enough talent, they are intelligent enough to take their talent and turn it into like just outrageous play. And with Mark Few doing some great things over there in Gonzaga, I know Clark is 22. I know it's a little bit high, but come on. Like, let's get a little bit of veteran experience. Not veteran experience. Let's just not have another 19-year-old thrown onto this team. Like, let's get some guys who can win games. And look, again, at his position alone, at the four, there's a ton of guys still on the board I could have taken. You know, maybe it's a Jonte Porter or even a Sekou Doumbia. Like, I could have reached for him. Like, Grant Williams from Tennessee, fine. I just want the kid who's been coached by Mark Few for 3 years, who drops 22 and 10 a night and shoots 70% from the floor. Those guys equal wins in the NBA.
Yeah.
It's like Julius Randle.
the efficiency is alone is ridiculous.
He's top five in college basketball right now in win shares and also player efficiency rating. Like, the advanced analytics love him.
Absolutely. And that's what, like, especially a team like Houston, that's what they thrive on is analytics.
Exactly.
So you're right. Someone who's got an analytics front office is going to take him and probably take him earlier than most expect to. Mm-hmm. So,
Michael, you have a magical job coming up.
Please tell me it's the Lakers. Fun.
Yes, because the number 14 is the Lakers. Yes. See what I did there? That was funny, magical.
Okay. Love it.
Anyway. Well, wait, just because my dad jokes. There we go, nailed it. All right, moving on here. At number 13, excuse me, are the Los Angeles Lakers. Very disappointing first season with LeBron James. No playoffs. No Anthony Davis at the trade deadline. The kids are pissed. You got to get a stabilizer in here at number 13, and also someone who can play with LeBron. Who you got?
Well, I fully expect the King to make the playoffs. So this is going to obviously be a what if. I am going to go. So what do the Lakers lack? They lack defense. A shot blocker.
Yeah.
A defender. I am going to go and take Bol Bol.
Nice.
Because
yes.
While I think whether the Lakers make the playoffs or don't, they will address the center position in free agency. I think having Bol Bol just speeds up. Now your second unit, or if he's a starter, you need defense. Because I don't know, and I'm the biggest LeBron fan, I don't know if you've watched lately, but his defense is...
He doesn't try. He hasn't tried on defense since he left Miami.
Well, he tries about the fourth quarter. When things are a little testy, and like when they played Atlanta, it was too late.
Do you know what my favorite thing about Bol Bol is, though? Because I know not many people got to watch him because he only played 9 games.
Right.
But like in those 9 games, he was outstanding.
That dude, I had him ranked in the top five before his injury.
Like 50% from 3 in 9 games. Like, sure, again, it's 9 games, but he's 7-3. He can't shoot 50% from 3. That's not allowed to happen.
I had him ranked in the top 5 before his injury. And the only reason I've lowered him is because, like you said, big men, or like everyone says, big men and leg injuries.
Nope. No, thank you.
It's scary. But I have faith that he's going to come in and he's going to jack lots of threes in the NBA.
I think he'd be the perfect big to pair next to LeBron. Sure, I know the injury is definitely going to impact him a decent amount going forward, but look, you're trying to make a team for the modern day NBA, especially on that Lakers team with LeBron. Not only do you need someone who can block shots, you need a big who can run the floor. You need Absolutely. Someone who has the athleticism and speed to be able to go baseline to baseline, keep up with LeBron, but also be relied upon to branch out and shoot threes and then maybe also roll to the basket and throw it down. He can do
He's
all
gonna
of
look
things.
Like a giraffe out there. He's gonna look like a giraffe out there.
With the it's yellow awesome. And with the gold. Oh my god.
it's gonna be awesome. I was so disappointed when he got hurt because I would be like, ooh, Oregon's playing tonight. And I'd be like, oh yeah, I gotta find them. So I'd find him on the TV and I'd be all about it. And then he got hurt.
And now, because so the problem is now is that with him not playing, people are starting to like go down on him or get, excuse me, they're starting to get down on him. again, people, 3 hours from Austin, I'm not doing great, but I don't think that people physically understand what kind of player he is going to be in the NBA. If he can stay healthy, it's going to be him and Jaren Jackson Jr. just leading the way into the future as the next kind of bigs, along with Chris Stapps and along with, you know, all the other great unicorns we have. Bol Bol fit right in with those guys. They have the same skill sets.
Absolutely. And he can put the ball on the floor. He looks funny doing it because he's so tall. But, man, I tell you, I just love his game. I really do. I mean, I loved watching his dad. I enjoy watching him. I mean, these guys are like – and he needs to put on muscle. He definitely needs to put on muscle.
Taller. Did you know that? He's still projected to get taller.
Somehow. I know. Well,
he's going to get taller.
That's crazy.
He's already a tree.
It's awesome. What?
And we already have a nickname for him. He'd be the California Redwood.
The California Redwood.
Yeah. There you go. Perfect nickname.
All he'd have to do is stand there and block shots.
Exactly. I like
three
that
on offense.
Also, one other thing about Bobo, if we move on to our last pick here, because we got to wrap things up soon. I like the fact that he could put the ball on the floor and cross some people up. He has I know it's high school and college kids, and it'll be different in the NBA. That guy's got handles. He can move the ball on the floor. He can really make some people look stupid at 7'2". Sure, he's not going to be Kyrie Irving, but again, he does a lot of things at his height that you just look at and you're like, you're not supposed to be able to do that. That's not fair. It's not allowed. It's illegal. Go play volleyball. Like, it's not what's supposed to happen.
Oh, he would be a ridiculous volleyball player.
Yes. Send him to the Olympics.
That would be awesome.
Let's go to our last pick here at number 14. A very sad Kings team doesn't make the playoffs. And since they don't make the playoffs and they don't get the number one pick, their pick at number 14 goes to my Boston Celtics. So I get to make a pick for the Celtics. This is great.
Oh, imagine that.
It's beautiful. I didn't plan this at all, I promise. All right. So if you're the Celtics, you got to start projecting out what your team is going to look like. If you are planning on trading for Anthony Davis, then again, you're not even making this pick. This pick is being sent to New Orleans tonight. But in the case that you decide not to trade for Anthony Davis and you're keeping the likes of Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, and you know, probably letting Terry Rozier and Marcus Morris go, you need someone behind Kyrie Irving who's going to be able to run the offense. And as we've seen in the past, Danny Ainge loves drafting guards from big programs. And there is one guard that's coming out of a big program, would replace Terry Rozier perfectly. That is Trey Jones, the point guard from Duke. Give me my double Duke point guard combo. I think he is a perfect Celtic.
As long as Rozier goes elsewhere, yes, I think he is a perfect Celtic. I think
he's going to be an R. Someone's going to give Terry Rozier the max and be an idiot about it in 3 years. But if you're
probably
the Celtic,
Phoenix,
you don't need scoring. You don't need a scorer off the bench. You have Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kyrie Irving, Al Horford. Like, you don't need scoring off the bench. You need a facilitator. You need someone who can run the offense. And if I'm looking for someone who can run Brad Stevens' offense, I want to go to a program that runs NBA-style offenses. It's why he drafted Terry Rozier. It's why he went after Kyrie Irving. Danny Ainge loves well-coached guys. And Trey Jones is on the board. I think his scoring will come around eventually. I mean, Terry Rozier, his first 2 years in the NBA, was an awful scorer, and they developed him quite well. I think Trey Jones could happen the same way. Sure, he is undersized, and I'm a little bit worried about his actual abilities to, I guess, shoot at an NBA level. But if there's any team who can turn around Trey Jones' three-point shooting, it's the team that made Marcus Smart a three-point shooting threat.
That is a very good point. That is a very good point.
Any Celtics this year, it is astonishing how well Marcus Smart shoots the ball now. That was impossible. He was
awful. And he started that during the playoffs last year.
And so, I think Trey Jones could fit right into what they like from developing guards. And also, one other thing, he's a glue guy. He is the glue guy for that Duke team. He gets them going. He's their emotional leader. He's the one that makes sure that they are actually running the game plan. They got a lot of talent. They got a lot of athleticism. At the end of the day, it's the floor general calling the shots. And I think Trey Jones would be a great, great backup for Kyrie Irving.
I agree 100%. I like Trey Jones as a stability on the back second unit and then the backcourt. I really like it. I think Danny Ainge is such a smart GM. I could see that totally going his way.
Hey, got three Duke guys on your team. How bad could your NBA team really be? Just saying.
That tells you how good Duke has been in the last 5 years.
Exactly. Michael, we got to wrap things up here and we got to go because I need to go fall asleep because driving in Texas is just no fun at all. We will be back with you guys next week. Thank you for listening to the Believe in NBA Prospect Show, also known as the Tanking Support Group here at Up and Under NBA. Michael, any last words for our people at home?
No, I hopefully have some new content up on Up and Under this week and check that out.
Absolutely. And again, remember to go follow us on Twitter at SportsDean. Go follow Up and Under NBA on Twitter as well. Michael, what's your handle? Shout them out. You've never shouted them out for me.
At Maximum Hoops NBA.
There you go. I love it. I love it. All right, Michael, thank you for joining us this week, and we'll see you guys on the flip side.